The founders of the Bedford-Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps, the first African-American-run volunteer ambulance corps in the country, went into action before they could afford an ambulance, and they couldn't afford to rent an office. So in 1988, they set up in an abandoned building next door to a crack house. Now the corps owns 3 ambulances and responds to about 300 calls a month. And thanks for their work, Mayor David Dinkins gave them the New York City Hero Award. President Bush gave them a Point of Light Award. The Corps was also spotlighted in the recent PBS documentary on grassroots efforts, The American Promise. My guests are founders James Rocky Robinson and Joe Perez. Both have worked as emergency medical technicians with the city's Emergency Medical Service. Robinson still works with the city's EMS. He says the volunteer corps can respond to calls in about 3 to 4 minutes, while it usually takes the city closer to 20. I asked Rocky Robinson how he decided to start a volunteer ambulance corps.
As a New York City supervisor and EMT, emergency medical technician, I've been with them for 27 years, New York, and I never saw a volunteer ambulance corps in minority communities, where the response time is so much greater. And I figured, why not do the same thing in Bedford-Stuyvesant that they're doing in communities where the response time is better, where the kids have an interest way, where it's sort of like a community base. Why not do it here? So I got together with my partner, Joe Perez, and we started going to the politicians and asking them and telling them our idea that we wanted to start a volunteer ambulance corps in basically the ghetto. And they was laughing. They said, you don't start a volunteer ambulance corps in a community that have a 911 system. I said, well, the patients that's waiting for the ambulance don't know that, you know. And basically, that's how it first started. We got together. We got a 55-foot trailer. We moved it onto the abandoned lot, and we started monitoring police calls. And we didn't have a ambulance at that time. So what we did, we would go on foot to 911 calls, stabilize the patients because we were both trained. We'd stabilize the patient till EMS got on the scene. And that was our infamous beginning.
So before you got an ambulance, the two of you would respond to phone calls on foot?
Right.
Give me a sense of one of those early phone calls when you had to get there on foot.
Okay, we had scanners. We had 911 scanners. Me and Rocky, we would get off of work from Woodhull Hospital in Brooklyn, New York, from our regular EMS duties working for the city. And we would go to Bed-Stuy. Before we got the trailer, we were in the abandoned building, and we had scanners. So we roped off a little area in Brooklyn, and we said, "We're gonna respond on foot, and we're gonna take our oxygen bag, our oxygen and our trauma bags, and we're gonna stabilize the patients before."
But our first call, Joe, was one of the guys who shot out our windows.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Was one of the drug dealers.
Right. That's
okay,
right.
That had been threatened.
Later
us,
on, yeah.
Got in an altercation with another drug dealer. It was right on the lot, and that's how come I remember it so good. Is because we had to wind up stabilizing a stab wound from one of the drug dealers.
So let me get this straight. You had set up headquarters in the same abandoned lot that there was a crack house.
Right.
Right.
And one of the drug dealers from that crack house was injured, and you had to respond to his call?
He was shot.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, he was stabbed.
He was stabbed?
That was a stabbing.
Oh, that was a stabbing. Yeah. Okay. And
so what was his reaction when you showed up, you who he thought of as the enemy?
Yeah. Well, he didn't say anything, but what happened is they stopped for a while shooting out our windows. Yeah. Because, you know, even it was something like a thing where they realized, okay, these guys ain't gonna leave. These guys are saving my life, you know. And even the drug dealers and the crack users, they realized that, you know.
Yeah, we were a positive element in the community. Yeah.
Now, how did you end up setting up your headquarters next door to a crack house?
Okay, let me tell you. Since we couldn't get funding, okay, we said, well, if drug dealers can move into abandoned buildings and sell drugs, then by God, we could move on an abandoned lot and save lives. So that's basically Well, we did. I mean, believe it or not, we didn't have a permit. We didn't have anything but a desire to improve our community and say, we're not going through this bureaucracy, this red tape. We're here to save lives. If they don't like it, let them come down here and lock us up. Now, isn't that going to be funny, them locking up the good guys where the junkies are selling crack? So this is how community, and they really helped us in a way, because the city was too embarrassed to come down there and lock up a couple guys that was running out on foot, saving people lives, and they got two crack houses there where they're selling drugs and they couldn't control them. So this is what we did. It was a bold move, but it worked.
Joe, when did the crack dealers move out?
Well, I don't know. They never really left all at one time. They just sort of like faded out.
Well, they had fade out, Joe, because we had their wooden shacks knocked down.
Right, that's right.
You
that's
knocked down their shacks?
That's right.
The police, along with us, you know, helped us knock down them shacks. You know, it was a thing where they were burning, puncturing our tires. I had an old Chevrolet. Me and Joe used to, after we ran a while, then we graduated to an old Chevy, and they used to sabotage our cars and try to intimidate us in other ways. But eventually, there were so many guys and police around doing emergency calls that the people was afraid to go to the crack houses to purchase drugs.
Sometimes people would come and knock on the trailer thinking that it was part of the drug operation and things like that.
No, you were telling us when you started you didn't even have a car, so you'd go out on foot and then stabilize the patient until an ambulance arrived. Yeah. What do you have now?
Oh, now we have
three ambulances.
Three ambulances.
Okay, we run 24 hours a day. Okay, we have our trauma trooper program, which, by the way, is for kids from 7 to 17 years of age. They're walking on the air. Instead of gold chains around their neck, they have gold badges that we give them when they become CPR certified. We also take them out in our trauma car occasionally to see and help us. They stabilize patients. You know, we don't put them above their level of training, but we have three former trauma troopers right now in pre-med school, okay? We have over 100 EMTs, emergency medical technicians, who are now working for the city of New York.
My guests are James Rocky Robinson and Joe Perez, founders of the Bedford-Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps in Brooklyn, New York. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Rocky Robinson and Joe Perez, founders of the Bedford-Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps, the first minority-run volunteer ambulance corps in the country. Rocky, what do you think is one of the most dramatic calls that you responded to?
One of the most dramatic? Oh, we had picked up a patient. I hate to keep talking about shot, but that's a, you know, it's a dramatic, so I'm going to give it to you. Whereas a guy was shot, we get on the scene awfully fast. Our response time is like 3 minutes, okay? So, actually, the gunfire is still going on, okay, when we get on the scene. And the patient is shot. We rush over there. You know, we're a little bit crazy, too. We rush over there. We put the patient in the ambulance, and the guy is standing at the back of the ambulance, still shooting at the guy when we're putting the patient on the ambulance. And this is not an exaggeration. I mean, the cops is telling us later, you guys are absolutely out of your mind. And then we thought about it later, because we didn't realize that the guy was that close, that he had ran to the back door of the ambulance and was shooting around, you know, trying to hit the guy still while we was putting him on there. We just heard the gunshot and didn't realize it until later when we seen the bullet holes in the door that we had quite a close call.
So how did the gunfight end?
Well, the cops came, and the guy that we had on there, he lived. He was shot in the shoulder, and the other guy got away, you know, because once he heard the sirens and everything, he ran. We got on the scene before the police.
So, Rocky, you're still working with the city's emergency medical services. How do you divide your time between the Bed-Stuy Ambulance Corps and you work for the city?
Well, I work from the city from 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, and I worked Bed-Stuy from 2 in the afternoon till about 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
What do you think that the city can learn from the Bed-Stuy Ambulance Corps, and what have you most wanted the Bed-Stuy Ambulance Corps to learn from the way the city goes about things?
Well, what I really want from us is to get people jobs with New York City EMS, and I want EMS to be more sensitive to the communities that they serve. A lot of the people have culture shock when they come into Bed-Stuy, and they have to, you know, let's be realistic. They, you know, don't treat some of the people the way they're supposed to be treated. What we have to convey to them is whether this person is what you consider a wino, a derelict, or whatever he is. He's a person, and a patient, and you have to treat him as such. It doesn't make a difference whether he has on a business suit or doesn't have anything on at all, whether he's what the police call a perpetrator or not guilty. It's not up to us to make a decision on this patient. We have our roles. Our roles as lifesavers, our role is patient care. And this is what I want, you know, a lot of people that work professionally to understand when they come into the different communities.
In your work with the city emergency medical services, what neighborhoods have you worked in?
In my 27 years, I've worked in all of them. I've worked in Harlem. I worked in the Bronx. I worked in Elmhurst, Queens. I've worked the whole city, and I see the difference in the patient care according to where you are.
Is it different for you to help people in your own neighborhood than to help people in a distant neighborhood?
What I believe, I think that if you're a healthcare provider, it doesn't make a difference what neighborhood you're in. I've been in neighborhoods where it was predominantly white neighborhoods, and I have been doing CPR on a patient, and I've had epithets thrown at me, get your black mouth off of him. And I just think to myself, that's not the patient that's saying that. That's somebody that doesn't have a clue. So I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing to try to save a life to argue with some idiot in back of me who doesn't know what life is all about.
Your Bedford-Stuyvesant Ambulance Corps was the first African-American volunteer neighborhood ambulance corps in the country. Have a lot of other neighborhoods tried to follow that model?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we're working ourselves up to Harlem and the Bronx.
However, we also have one that started already that we were the catalyst for.
Yeah.
In Crown Heights, called the Tricom Volunteer Ambulance Corps. Okay. And we got together with the Jewish community after the riots over there with Calvin Cato, maybe you read about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had said that the Jewish ambulance refused to help. However, what we did, we were trying to heal the wounds between the black community, the Haitian community, and the Jewish community to let them know that EMTs all over the world was life savers, not life takers. So Hadzola, the one that was accused, and Bed-Stuy got together and donated an ambulance to this new ambulance corps called Tricom, okay? And we presented the keys to them on the steps of City Hall to that ambulance corps. So that was our first ambulance corps that we actually, together with Hadzola in the Jewish community, got rolling.
Hadzola was the Jewish...
The
neighborhood's
Jewish, yeah.
Volunteer ambulance corps.
Yeah, they helped refurbish that ambulance for them, and mm-hmm. It started a lot of good, positive dialogue during those the Crown Heights riots.
Rocky, I want to get back to what you were saying, that there have been times during your medical career when people have racially insulted you as you were saving somebody's life. How often did this kind of thing happen, where you would be racially insulted while saving someone's life?
Well, believe it or not, it happened more time, more often than not. However, it doesn't just happen to me. It also happens in the black community when whites respond. And so, you know, it works both ways. However, what I feel is that when we started the Best-Eye Volunteer Ambulance Corps, I took a page right out of the Jewish community. I really like what I saw in their community, where you could call for an ambulance, and in less than 1 or 2 minutes, they had their own ambulance service there before EMS. And I thought that was amazing. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with neighbor helping neighbor, with communities coming together. It's about, I live in this community. I am black. I am Jewish. I am Polish, or whatever you are. As long as you're in a community together and you can come together as a group and improve things in your community, I think it's the greatest thing in the world. And that's what we did in Bed-Stuy, even though people said it's unheard of. You don't do that in Bed-Stuy, you know?
Rocky Robinson and Joe Perez are the founders of the Bedford-Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps in Brooklyn, New York.